It's amazing what God has planned for your life. When I was growing up in Kyle, and coming home from primary school, and I was seeing Harry Saunders here at the back, and I remember whacking Harry Saunders' son with a school bag, and he was whacking me back. I never thought then that, you know, I would be, you know, preaching or even preaching to Harry's father. But it's amazing what God does in our lives. And as I was coming over here, I was just thanking God for the opportunity to share God's word with you. It's a real privilege to be given that blessing. In the past, I've preached in different congregations, but to be part of this special event is a real privilege, and I was thanking God for it, and also just praying that I wouldn't ruin it by touching the glory and just and getting in the way of God's blessing. And I was praying, and I'm sure you have been praying, that indeed God would bless us tonight. And I'd like to just start with a word of prayer, just also just to settle my heart as well. And just, if we just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for this privilege to be with your people and be in song, be in prayer, be in the word together, and to be in the Lord's Supper as well. And Lord, Lord, there's a lot of hungry people here, people who need you, who are looking to you, who are looking to be fed, looking to be blessed, looking to be helped. And that's beyond me, God. But thankfully, it's not beyond you, Lord. And so I ask and pray that you will pour out your blessing upon us as we spend some time in your word, and indeed seeing the word and tasting the word in the bread and the wine. So Lord, come amongst us, and for the sake of your great name and for the sake of your people, Lord, bless us and lift us up, that we would leave here knowing that God has ministered to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When I was a boy, I had a dream. I'm going to put this in my pocket because I move around a little bit and I might drop it on the floor. When I was a boy, I had a dream that I had a blue racer bike. And in my dream, I was riding it around in the back garden at my home in Railway Terrace there. It was some racer because it was going up all kinds of terrain. But it was a blue racer bike. And I had such joy and delight in this dream that when I woke up, I asked myself, is there really a blue racer in the shed? It was so real, the dream. It felt so real. Is there a bike? Is there not a bike? And I went to the shed and there was no blue racer there. But it felt so real, you know. I felt that I really did have this blue racer. Do you know, when Jesus appeared before his disciples after his resurrection, showing them his hands and his feet, Luke records a strange thing. He says that they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. They still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. And by the help of God, I just want to look at that statement this evening, and to try and open it up a little bit and share some things that came to my mind as I reflected on this passage. In verse 36, Luke records, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." What were they talking about? Well, they were talking about the strange things that happened that day. A few days ago, they had witnessed their Saviour, Jesus Christ, be crucified on a cross and be buried in a tomb. And now it's Sunday morning, and the women have come running in saying, "Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! His tomb's empty." And they say an angel has told them that he's risen from the dead. And Mary, she said that she saw Jesus and she spoke with Jesus. But the disciples are sitting there thinking, this is just nonsense. How can that be real? How can that be true? Dead people don't come to life again. We saw Jesus die. He really did die. He was whipped. He was crucified. A spear went through his side. He died. And then that evening, two other followers of Jesus came to the disciples with great excitement, saying that they saw and spoke with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And we ate with him. And then he suddenly disappeared. These were the things they were speaking about. What's going on? What is happening today? 3 days ago, he was buried. There is a real confusion in the minds of the apostles, the disciples here, the followers of Christ. They are saying, some are saying, Jesus is really alive. We have seen him. And the others are saying, what? How? That's not possible. How can that be? And then at that moment, as they're having this kind of conversation, and these thoughts are going through their heads, Jesus suddenly appears to them. He suddenly appears to them at that moment. And they're terrified, of course. Natural reaction to have when someone just suddenly appears in the room in front of you. And they think they've seen a ghost. But Jesus is quick to reassure them he's not a ghost. He shows them his hands, he shows them his feet. And they would have seen the nail marks in his hands and his feet, where they nailed him to the cross. And he says to them, "You touch me. It's me. I'm real. It's not your imagination. It's not a ghost. I'm real. Look at my hands. Touch me. I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and bone. A human being before you." And you know, I imagine that slowly each one stretches out his hand to touch Jesus. Grabbing hold of him. It's firm. It's real. He's real. And as they touch them, I think their holding becomes more confident, more firm. And I imagine Jesus as well just standing there as his disciples around him, holding him, touching him. I can just see him with a smile, and a loving smile on his face. It's me. It is me. It's really me. Yes, I'm here. It's a truly amazing moment in this room. It's an amazing moment. But then Luke records this strange comment. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, that's the ESV version. I don't have the NIV version in front of me, but that's just what I've got in front of me here. Disbelieved. Joy. Marveling. How do these go together? Can they go together? What is meant by this? Well, first of all, they're not actually saying, you know, I don't believe this at all. I don't believe this at all. No, they're actually starting to believe. They're starting to believe. This is real. This is Jesus. He's somehow back to life again. Do you know we have a saying for that, don't we? What's happening here? We have a saying for what they're experiencing at this moment, and it's too good to be true, isn't it? Too good to be true. It's too good to be true. It's a bit like when Jacob was told that his son Joseph was alive and ruler in Egypt. He did not believe them. But when they told Joseph's words, and when he saw the wagons of food and the things Joseph had sent him, his heart revived. He's alive. How? This is great. This could be good to be true. And that's what's happening here with this Jesus' disciples. It is now dawning on the disciples that this is really the risen Christ, and it's true, and it's so great, it's so wonderful, it's so amazing, it's so good, too good to be true. There's a conflicted mind here. This is not possible, this is not expected, but yet here it is. He's speaking with us, and we're holding them in our hands. And as I was trying to think about how they felt here, I thought about a dream, another dream I once had, to maybe try and convey maybe something of the feeling and the emotion that the disciples have here. Some years ago, I had a dream, and I saw a man standing slightly to one side of a small archway. And half of the arch was covered, but half of it was opened by this man's presence. And he was standing slightly to allow me to see through. And I couldn't see really what was on the other side. But I had a sense it was this entrance to another world, a beautiful world. And as I was thinking about this in the dream, and as I reflected on the man, looked at the man again, I realized in my dream that this was Jesus. And when that realization hit me, I screamed with excitement, "Jesus!" I just couldn't believe it. Jesus was there. I've never seen him before. I've never met him before. And I've longed to meet him. And in this dream, you can decide what this dream means or not, if it was real or not, but I'm just telling you. I screamed with such excitement and such joy that Jesus was in my presence as a physical being, his physical body. And I screamed with excitement, with joy, perhaps even hysterically, I don't know. But it was just so overwhelming. That's what's happening, I think, to the disciples here. They're just overwhelmed with such intense joy and emotion. They thought they'd lost Jesus. The one they loved, they thought he lost him. They'd given everything to follow him 3 years of their life. They believed in him. And they thought he lost him. And there he is now, right in front of them. And they're overwhelmed with joy and happiness. Is this really happening? Yes, it is. And just to confirm it, Jesus asked them for something to eat. And they gave him a piece of fish and he ate it in front of them. It's really me. It really is. Friends, Jesus Christ really did die on a cross. He gave his life in place of sinners. He died their death. He bore the punishment for our sins. But just as he had always said to them, they didn't get it though at the time. But just as he always said, he would be put to death, and on the third day he would rise. He would rise. Proving to the whole world that he is the Son of God. And that God has accepted his sacrifice, his death in the place of sinners. Accepting his death. That there's no more wrath, there's no more anger. Because God has exhausted it on Jesus' Son for the one who believes, the one who trusts in Christ. The death and the life, rather, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it's not a fairy tale, friends. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. It's real. Do you know, the Apostle John writes for us these words in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and have heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John's saying, we've seen it. We were there. We were eyewitnesses. And we're telling you this so that you too can share in this. And you know, some 2,000 years on from this, men, women, children, well, they're still encountering the risen Lord Jesus Christ today. And many in this room have encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You've met him. You know him. You've experienced him. Not only are the disciples back then witnesses to Christ, but you too are a witness to Christ. You know him. Even though you've not seen him, you love him, even though you've not seen him. But in many ways that we'll not go into tonight, you have seen him. The Spirit of God witnesses within your spirit and my spirit, so that we call out to God, Abba Father. You know him. He speaks with you, and you talk with him. And you know, nobody can tell you that he's not real, because you have a living relationship with this God. Oh, sure, there are times when you will doubt. There'll be times when you are buffeted by trials and temptations that you might doubt. But he always takes you through them, doesn't he? He's that constant friend with you all the time. When the disciples were overwhelmed with joy, thinking, this is too good to be true, Jesus ate a piece of fish in their presence. Well, tonight, you and I are going to eat bread in his presence. Bread that represents the broken body of Jesus on the cross, and you're going to drink from the vine that represents the shed blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And you're going to do that together in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Does this sound too good to be true? Here we are, we're gathered. Does this sound too good to be true? Friend, he really is here. Just as real as the person sitting next to you, Jesus Christ is present. Not in his physical body, but by his Spirit he's present with you tonight. And by his Spirit, he lives in you. John 14:23, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." And listen to these words. "And we will come to him and make our home with him." God has made his home with you, you who have trusted and you who have believed. Home is a place where you like to be. Home is a place where you like to stay. Christ has made his home with you. Jesus himself says in Matthew 28, "I'm always with you, even to the end of the age." And it doesn't matter how you feel, because we feel up and down depending on what's going on in our lives. But not a day goes by when Christ is not with you. And it could be the worst of days you're having, but he's still there. Because he's promised never to leave us or to forsake us. He's promised never to leave us as orphans. He's promised to come to us. And so today, or tonight, you're going to eat with him and receive his blessing. But you can do that tomorrow too. You can receive his blessing every day. But this is a special occasion tonight as we gather. As members from different churches, denominations, but of the one church, Jesus Christ. Do you know, one of the greatest lies to come out of hell is that there isn't a God. There is no God. And another one is you can't have a relationship with him. But through faith in Jesus Christ, you and I can have a personal, close, intimate fellowship with God every day. And I'd like to launch into some other things, but that's not for tonight. But you know what Christ has given to us, what we have in Christ, and how much we're not entering into that. And it's there, it's available, it's free, and we're just not entering into it. But you, regardless of who you are in Christian circles or in the world or in the community, you can have friendship with God. You can have a relationship with God. And God wants that with you. Christ died to make that possible. And we're remembering this tonight. He died to make that possible. You know, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to know Jesus, because you can enjoy a friendship with him now. You can do that right now, and you can keep doing that your whole life, and you can, that relationship can grow and deepen and mature your whole life. Because it says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Jesus is not just saying that we know God in a way that 2 + 2 = 4. No, he means that we know God in such a way that we have a living relationship with him. That we know him like we know our friend. That that we enjoy him like we enjoy our friends. And that's the relationship God wants with you. That's the relationship Christ has made possible through his death. And his resurrection. Is this too good to be true? Can I really have this? Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. How can I have it? Through faith in Christ, you can have it. Through faith in Christ, just talk to him. He's real, he's there. Talk to him. Listen to him as well. Listen, spend time with him. Every day, ask him to fill you with his Spirit. Tell him that you want to know him better than you know anyone else. That you want to be his best friend. Ask him to pour himself out to you more and more. You see, friends, your conversion is only the beginning. But oh, what an important step it is. You need to believe, you need to trust in Christ. But it's just the beginning. We don't become Christians and then hang around here for a while and then go to heaven. No, we know God, we have a relationship, we serve him, we work with him. You know. But yet we know, and yet sometimes we don't know. Because we let other things take up that time. We forget what Christ has made possible for us. Even our ministry, whatever God has given to you, can become a chore. That's not the way it's meant to be. Your conversion is just the beginning, friend. And you can walk into the presence of God anytime, any place, and enjoy him. Do you know, sometimes we mess up, and we mess up really bad. And, do you know, I remember one time just thinking, weeks after searching God, lost because of a sin. And God said, what are you talking about? I didn't put it like that, but that's the way I'm putting it. You always have a relationship with me. You know, I'm trying to climb this ladder to get up to the top floor, and God says, just walk in the front door. We always have a relationship through Christ, with God. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God. And God spoke face to face with Moses as a man speaks with his friends. Is that the kind of relationship we have with God just now? It's the relationship we can have. And the relationship God wants you to have. You see, John 15, verse 15, Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, says Jesus. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. I call you friends, Jesus says. I'll finish with this. Right now, you can enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as Peter says in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Okay, Peter says that. But what is it going to be like when you finally meet Jesus face to face? When the one you have so longed for appears before you, never to depart again. To see him face to face. The disciples on this occasion that we've been reading about, they stood in utter joy and amazement. It's too good to be true. How will we be when we see Jesus face to face? The hymn writer says, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. I guess no words can fully describe how we will feel on that day when our Jesus we shall see. Then you'll experience God in ways you've never experienced here, because Satan, sin and suffering will no longer be a part of our experience. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known.